Okay, this is the first morning talk of the retreat on the Friday morning. And what I wanted to talk about this morning was incorporating patience into one's meditation practice, especially here on the retreat. And it was very apt that I asked you to wait for a few minutes before the talk began. Sometimes we don't know how to wait for things, and instead of just enjoying the moment of doing nothing, we're always running ahead of ourselves, waiting for the next thing to happen, like in Samuel Beckett's play Waiting for Godot. And in that play, that fellow Godot never appeared, never came. In the same way, when you wait for things, they never really appear, at least not the way you want them to appear anyway. And so often in our meditation, because of impatience, we're waiting for something, we try to find something which never comes to us, because we're really looking in the wrong place. The patience in the meditation is that which gives all the attention to the present moment and cares for the present moment without worrying or being concerned about the moment which is going to come next. We put all our time, all our effort, all our mindfulness in this wonderful thing which we call now. So we're never actually waiting to listen to a talk, because the talk hasn't happened yet. We're just enjoying the moment, enjoying listening to the birds, or just enjoying just being here, doing nothing. That ability to be patient is just so important in the practice of meditation. I often stress the importance of present moment awareness in meditation. Some of the monks at our monastery do very little else but present moment awareness. And it takes them into very deep meditative states. And very often that I catch myself just waiting for the next moment and never paying full attention to the moment which has happened now. And just by turning the attention into a deeper attention on the present moment, very often creates just that extra, just turns that switch which creates a beautiful meditation state. If you understand about meditation, you realize that it is, as I was saying yesterday evening, the development of contentment, the deepening of contentment, the fulfilling of contentment. And that contentment cannot exist anywhere else except in the present moment. So really our job as meditators is just to try and abandon as fully and completely as we possibly can just all perceptions of the past and the future. And I mean completely abandon those perceptions until there is no time left. Because all time is just a measurement of the past, the present, or the past, the future. Or of the present to the future. These are the three ways of measuring time. But if there is no past, there is no future in your field of perception, there is no time. You're in this timeless, akalika world, the eternal world of the Dhamma. And also it means that if you're in the present moment, there cannot be any room for craving to arise. Because craving is always that which reaches out to something else in the future. Something which you haven't got yet, which you think you may gain sometime later. When you're fully in the present moment, there cannot be any craving, because there's no perception left of future. And as you all know, this path of meditation which I teach here is just the abandoning of that craving, the letting go of the doer. And when that doer is let go of, when that craving is let go of, what's left is this beautiful contentment in the present moment. You're just happy to be here. And amazing things happen when you become content in the present moment. What starts off as just ordinary contentment, if you stay with that contentment in the present moment, what starts off as ordinary starts to become very profound. It's as if once you stop moving into past or future, when you stop moving following your cravings, when things cease, then in that stillness grows a very beautiful state of mind. It's as if, and I forget who told this simile some time ago, it's as if that all the energy which you have in your mind It's just dispersed. You send it off into the future and the past. And you have very little left for the present moment, which is why people lack the happiness of now. They lack the peace of now. They're always sending their energy somewhere else. But if you develop that contentment and keep that contentment and persist in just being in that present moment, the contentment builds up, the energy builds up, energy upon energy. And that energy in meditation is called happiness. And when it gets intense, it's called bliss. And it's the bliss which is just developed by staying in the present moment. There comes a time in the meditation when the present moment becomes so beautiful, so delightful, there's no way you can move off into the future or the past. It becomes so beautiful, so wonderful. There's no way that you can start thinking and planning, because the mind is fully satisfied just with the experience of now. And this is where the meditation is going towards. However, for this meditation, obviously patience is so important. You have to allow time for that happiness to build up until the meditation becomes just so automatic, simply because the mind just seeks that happiness of the present moment. It inclines towards it, and when it finds it, it just will not be moved. In the same way that if you find a very beautiful friend, a friend you've had many beautiful experiences with in the past, you just want to spend time with that friend. You want to hang out with them. That's the nature of a good friend. The contentment in the present moment is your best friend. If you can hang out with that for a while, you'll have some amazing experiences together. It's like, I remember when I was just turned 18 and I was travelling in Central America. This is in 1969. In those days, Central America was still jungle. And I was going to these ancient ruins in the middle of the jungle. And the only way to get there was using fishing boats and trucks and all sorts of other just native transport. And I remember just going on one of the fishing boats on the Caribbean coast of Guatemala and going up the coast at midnight and seeing the dawn come up on the Caribbean. And it was, even though I was very, very tired, even though I really should be sleeping, it was just so beautiful, just the colours streaking across the ocean, which is so amazing, but there's no way I could sleep. I wanted to drink every moment of that experience. And that's very much what happens in meditation. When the meditation starts to get beautiful, it just captivates the mind. It gives the mind this great fulfillment and joy. So you just, despite yourself, you can't turn your mind away from that joy and happiness. But to get to those happy states, you have to be patient. You have to work with the mind and give the mind time to settle down, especially in the first few days of this meditation retreat. Remember what you've been doing beforehand. And remember that the mind can't just slow down because of you, because you tell it to. You've got to allow the mind to slow down, to give it space, to relax, to go slower and slower and slower. In the same way that you've been driving a car, if you want to slam on the brakes to stop very quickly, then it's very uncomfortable and sometimes you lose control. The best way to slow down a car is very gently going down the gears one by one until the car comes to a complete halt. This is what I mean by the stages of meditation. Slowing down your vehicle by going down the gears. For those of you who do know your mind very well, you know there are certain things which need to be abandoned first. It needs to be slowed down first. And there are other things which need to be slowed down afterwards. And if you know the gradual training of the mind, you know the method of the mind, then you actually you know how to slow down the mind and bring it to calm in a way which doesn't create too much turmoil, and which can actually keep that car under control, which can keep the mind peaceful. Those stages of meditation I've written about in my book, and I've talked about many times. It's the stages of letting go of past and future, letting go of the inner commentary, then letting go of diversity to get to the unity of the breath, and letting go of the coarse breath to find the beautiful breath, and letting go of the breath to just merge with the beautiful. These are actually stages of letting go, stages of overcoming the coarser hindrances of the mind, one by one. And if you try and do it in some other order, you will find that it goes against the nature of the mind. The biggest hurdle for the mind at the beginning is just going off into the past or future. And I don't just mean memories of your childhood or memories of yesterday. I don't mean just plans of what you're going to do after this retreat. I also mean the memory of what happened a moment ago, where we carry around these memories of a few moments ago, so much so that they blot out, obliterate the mindfulness of the present. And I mean the anticipation of what we want next in the next moment. That blots out the present moment as well. I'm talking about the refined abandonment of past and future perceptions. Because so much of the problems in meditators come from trying too hard. And what they're trying to do, they're trying to do something with the future. They're trying to change this which they're experiencing now to something which they think is much better. Even like doing jhanas. They're wanting jhanas because they don't know what they are, but they think it's something in the future sometime, somewhere, something in the next moment. The path of meditation, the path of contentment, is similar to the metaphor of the lotus flower. The more beautiful, the more fine petals of that flower, they don't lie to the left or to the right, above or below that lotus flower. They actually lie within the outer petals. The middle petals lie within the outer petals. The inner petals lie within the middle petals. And the heart of that lotus lies inside the inner petals. In this meditation, the silence lies within present moment awareness. Not outside of it, not in the next moment, not in the last moment, but in this moment, within this moment, within the silence, within the present moment, sorry. And the breath lies within the silence, not somewhere else. The beautiful breath lies within the breath. The beauty lies within the beautiful breath. The nimitta, which gets you into jhanas, lies within that beauty. The jhana itself lies within that nimitta. So often our mistake is to throw away what we're experiencing now to try and get something else. We're throwing away the flower and trying to find the essence, the heart, somewhere else. And that's the wrong way in meditation. You have to take this which you're experiencing now and develop more contentment, deepening your awareness, going deeper into this, more fully into this, going to the very heart of this, until you let go not only of all movement to the past and future, but you also let go of all inner commentary. That inner commentary you can know very well. It's this, these words which go backwards and forwards within your mind. At least have enough confidence and faith that you don't know. You haven't experienced yet. So let go of all those words and have some silence inside. So because people trust and believe in those thoughts, that they tend to obsess the mind, and we trust in those thoughts rather than in the silence. In the monastery at Serpentine, I often teach monks what we call a super practice. A super practice, super means the unbeautiful, the ugly, the despicable. And traditionally it's used for monks or nuns to look upon the body of the opposite sex, so there's no lust. But I was changing this in the monastery to look upon thoughts and the thinking mind as being ugly, as being despicable, simply because that they are robbing you of the beauty of silence. They're like covering up this wonderful gift, this great jewel of silence. And the Buddha often used the simile, just like a young man or a young woman who is dressed ready to go out would put on the carcass of a dog around their neck, or an old snake, a dead snake around their neck. They would be disgusted, they would be distraught that they would have to wear such a thing. And that's a simile of the Buddha, and I applied that simile to your thinking. If you really knew just how beautiful your mind was, how full of joy, how full of wisdom it is, and you got this beautiful mind ready to go out into the experience of Nibbana, and you cover this beautiful mind, this radiant mind, with the carcass of a dog or the carcass of a dead snake, you're covering this beautiful mind with your thoughts. You're wearing them and delighting in them, because you don't know what it's like when you take that carcass off. So look upon your thoughts, even with a sense of disgust. What have your thoughts done for you over all these years? They've driven you crazy many times. They've created so much anger in you, sometimes so much desire. Have they really been your servant? Or have you been their slave? I say this because the only way that a person can overcome and abandon that thinking mind is by first of all just seeing it as a hindrance. So many people look at the thinking mind and celebrate it, and they believe in it, and in fact all their thoughts are going to write books about them, and they think what wonderful thoughts they are. They even call wise people in the world great thinkers. I call them great fools. You don't get wise through thinking, you get wise through silence. However, here we have to have at least some faith, some confidence to give that a try, to abandon the thinking mind and see what's there underneath the thinking mind. The silence of the mind, where you're knowing but not saying anything about what you know, where you're experiencing but not taking notes. Isn't it the case sometimes you have a nice experience and you want to still take notes in your mind? I must remember this to tell the teacher, or to write it down in my diary afterwards. Please, no diaries on this retreat. If you're writing diaries, it's just old stuff, just memories of what happened. And all the time you spend writing in your diary, you're wasting that time because you're not experiencing what's happening now. Sometimes that people would ask Ajahn Chah about why we didn't record his talks. He said, you are recording the talks. They're being recorded in here. When you listen to Dhamma, you don't remember the words, but you remember what the words are pointing to. And that's the best recording. That's the recording which is recorded in the listeners. And you can't sort of put those talks in the library, because those talks are carried around in the students, and the students give those talks to their students. That's the way the Dhamma has been recorded through history. So when we understand what thinking is all about, and we understand what silence is all about, we understand that silence is deep within the present moment. So I said in the book, if you're so attentive to each moment, if you're so fully in the present, you cannot linger to say anything about what has happened. In the same way that when you're listening to a symphony, you have to listen to every note, because if you miss one note because you're saying what a beautiful piece that was, you miss so much of the symphony. You miss its beauty, you miss its continuity. Just like in the middle of a performance, turning around to your partner and just having a discussion, what a wonderful performance this is. They and all the people around you will say, shut up. And why do you do that in your meditation? Go interrupt the process of meditation by thinking and by taking notes, by making remarks. If we can abandon that thinking mind, we're getting very far in this meditation. If we can have confidence and trust in silence, we're getting a long way. It takes time to do this. Be patient. The present moment awareness and the silence are like the foundations and the lower wall of this great building we call meditation and samadhi. If you're building a structure and you don't spend enough time, don't put enough concrete in your foundations, when you build that building, it might go up very quickly, but it also comes down very quickly as well. Put a lot of time in the present moment. Give it a lot of attention. Some time ago, I was teaching a retreat, and one of the meditators spent about 2 or 3 days just developing present moment awareness and nothing else. Other meditators were wanting to go off into silence, into the breath. They wanted to get into the nimittas of meditation. They wanted to get to jhana quickly. That lady who spent 3 days of a 9-day retreat just doing present moment awareness, all morning, all afternoon, all evening, she built such a strong foundation that even though by the 3rd or 4th day other people were trying to do a breath or beautiful breath meditation, she soon overtook them because of her strong foundation. When it came time for her to be silent, it was easy to do. When it came time for her to watch the breath, it was just so easy to do. When it came time to let go of the breath, she could do it. Simply because she had such a strong foundation, because she was patient. Don't rush this process. Remember, this process is anatta. It's nothing to do with you. The more you get out of the way, the quicker it works. That's what I mean by patience. Impatience is a sign of ego self, the doer, you getting in the way. Patience shows the understanding of conditionality, that this is a process. It's a cause and effect process. It happens in spite of all of your expectations, desires, wishes. It's just like a tree growing. You cannot wish a tree to grow quicker than it does. All your job is to guard that tree, to make sure it has enough water, to make sure it has enough sunlight, and it doesn't get destroyed. So your job in this meditation is just to guard this mind, just to make sure it's not disturbed, and it gets enough water, it gets enough sunlight, that's all. And little by little, as you guard this mind throughout this meditation retreat, you will find that the meditation states grow naturally in spite of you. Whether you think you're a great meditator, or think you're a hopeless meditator, whether you're a beginner or you've been meditating for years and years and years, it does not matter. It happens in its own time. So your job is just to be there in the present moment, to cultivate silence, and to cultivate the unity of perception, which we call the breath. Sometimes people think that silence is enough, but in the present moment where there's silence, sometimes the mind can be aware of first this thing and then that thing, and then something else. And that's not good enough. The mind is getting some energy, but it needs that energy to be focused in one place for there to be a fuller letting go. After abandoning the thinking mind, the reacting mind, the next thing to abandon is the moving mind. The mind which moves from one thing to another, which gives the impression of diversity of attention. Instead of diversity, we want unity of attention. And this is where it's a good time to pick up the breath. By the breath meditation, I mean that which tells you what the breath is doing. That feeling anywhere in your body which tells you the breath is going in, or which tells you the breath is going out. To watch the breath. Even the Anapanasati Sutta, which the Buddha taught, to do preparations first of all. Not just to go straight on into it, but prepare yourself in building the monastery at Serpentine. While doing any carpentry, you know that preparation is just 90% of any building work. If you're doing a painting, a wall, it's not just a case of just getting a can of paint and slopping it on. It's the preparation, first of all, the sanding the wall, the filling the cracks, the washing it down. And the longer you spend on that preparation, the easier the paint goes on. The same with breath meditation. The more preparation you do, the easier the breath meditation comes. Remember, all of this meditation is just letting go. Letting go of craving, letting go of desire. At this point, letting go of diversity. As you let go of diversity, you get to the sense of unity. One thing staying in the mind for long periods of time. First of all, that's just breath going in and breath going out. And after a while, it's just breath. You don't know whether it's going in. You don't know whether it's going out. In the Visuddhimagga, the commentary on the Way to Enlightenment by Buddhaghosa, there's a very good simile there of somebody sawing a piece of wood. When you start to saw a piece of wood in half, your focus of attention can see the whole saw and a lot of the piece of wood. You're sawing backwards and forwards. And you know whether the saw is going forwards, or you know if the saw is going backwards. But as you focus the attention more and more, as you become concentrated and settled on one point, when you're focusing on the point where the saw meets the wood, all you can see is just one saw blade. So one saw tooth hitting a tiny piece of wood. And you're not sure, you cannot tell whether that tooth is at the beginning of the saw or the end of the saw or the middle of the saw, because every tooth looks the same. When you get deep into breath meditation, all you see is this breath, this part of breath happening now. And you cannot tell whether it's an in-breath or an out-breath. You cannot tell whether it's the beginning, middle or end of the breath. All you know is one part of breath happening now. Just one tooth of the saw hitting the blade. You don't know which part of the saw it is. This is where the unity of perception is focusing closer and closer and closer in to an even deeper unity. You're letting go of diversity, you're simplifying the mind. As you simplify the mind more and more, you'll notice that it gets more and more beautiful, more and more radiant. For many people, simplicity is boring, and sometimes they go to sleep. It's because they don't know the beauty, they don't notice the beauty, the joy, the sheer happiness of each of these stages of meditation. If you really do want to proceed more efficiently, in each of the stages of meditation, just notice the sheer joy and happiness of these stages. spend time just focusing and recognizing that joy. Because the happiness in each of these stages, the degree of inner contentment which they bring, is that which enables samadhi or sustained attention to happen. You cannot sustain your attention just through force. You can only sustain your attention by enjoyment. You can only stay in this meditation center if you're enjoying it. You cannot force yourself to stay here, especially when you paid so much money. You can only do this. You can only do this if you're having fun. So notice how much fun it is to be still. Notice how much fun it is to be silent. Notice how much fun it is just to be with the breath. Notice how much fun it is just to be with a beautiful breath. Actually, when you get to this stage, you don't need to notice anything anymore. It's just staring you in the face. It's impossible not to notice the bliss and the joy of a beautiful breath, and let alone what happens next. So each of these stages, the samadhi, the ability to sustain attention, to keep still, is dependent upon your ability to recognize the joy and the happiness here. Even the happiness in this retreat center. Instead of thinking about the pain in the body or the fact you don't eat in the afternoon, isn't it wonderful just being here and having nothing to do? No husband, no wife, no kids, no work, no house to clean, no job. How much have you let go to come here? Isn't this wonderful to be free of all these things? Think like that, cultivate such perceptions, because that will bring the happiness and the joy of freedom. So often when we're free, we forget we're free. We take it for granted and we don't enjoy the freedom. And then the freedom gets taken away from us while we're not watching. Enjoy the states of these meditations. As you enjoy them more and more, you find that they will recur more and more. Simply because you're training the mind to incline to the beautiful, peaceful states of mind. The patience is to allow the mind time to gain these stages of meditation. Give it all the time it takes with gentleness. Don't run too fast, you'll fall over. In fact, try not to run at all. The more you move, the less you are still. I used to tell people that the monastery at Serpentine is on top of a hill. And for years, the only time I would go to that monastery would be in a car, driving up and down that hill. Don't know how many hundreds, thousands of times I've driven up and down that hill from the highway to the monastery. But a few times I've walked. When you walk, the journey is very different. In fact, when you walk up that hill, it's almost as if it's a completely different road. What I see when I walk is so much different than what I see through the window of a car. When you're going through a window of a car, you're going too fast. You can't truly, fully see the scenery around you. When you're walking, you see so much more. It is a different experience, a different road, a different journey. And when you stop, you're not even walking, you're standing still. Then again, it's a completely different road. A different experience. You see so much more. This is where wisdom, joy and beauty come from. When you're going through life in a fast car, no wonder it doesn't look beautiful. No wonder there's suffering. All you're seeing is flashes and you can't appreciate the finer things in the scenery. However, as you slow down, it's amazing how much more you begin to notice. You can actually stop. Wow. Then you can really appreciate the scenery around you. Life, when you're running, is very different than life when you slow down. Life when you slow down is very different than life when you stopped. This is why meditation gives you these wonderful, beautiful experiences. You can actually experience that beauty much more deeply, much more fully, the slower you're going. And if you can stop, you'll get all the beauty in the world right in the palm of your hand. So be patient with this meditation. Contentment. Keep coming back into the moment. Don't worry about what's going to happen next. Just be concerned, fully with what's happening now. If you want to proceed further and deep into the meditation, just keep more and more still in the now. Being more and more content with what you've got. The lotus opens up by itself. You don't need to pull the petals apart. Lotus opens because of the sun shining on it. The longer the sun shines on the lotus, the more the petals open. Keep the attention on the lotus of the present moment. Keep shining the attention on that present moment. Keep shining the attention on the silence of the moment, the breath of the moment. These are all just the inner petals of the lotus. They will open up all by itself. But please don't go pulling at the petals. Okay, let's see the talk this morning on patience and also incorporating some of the basic method of meditation, the basic stages. Present moment awareness deepening into silence, and silence deepening into awareness of your breath. Are there any questions on this morning's talk? Is there any questions anyone had? Okay, then we can finish the talk now.